But the FDA only requires the testing be presented to them of the medical device in only one type of packaging system. So let's go back to the IFU, and we'll use an IFU that says that this medical device needs 4 minutes of sterilization at 270 degrees with 30 minutes of dry time. Can you tell me what packaging system was used when this IFU was created? Probably not.
From the basement to the boardroom, from ideas to innovation, you are listening to the Beyond Clean podcast, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are pushing the sterile processing industry forward. Each week, you will encounter diverse perspectives from subject matter experts across the country and around the globe. Frontline technicians, CEOs, engineers, and entrepreneurs, with a common goal to help you fight dirty every instrument, every time. Whether you are tuning in for education or inspiration, we are glad you are here. Now, turn on those washers and turn up the volume. It's time to go beyond clean.
On this Vendor Spotlight, we speak with Barbara Ann Harmer, Vice President of Clinical Services at Innovative Sterilization Technologies, LLC. Barbara is a highly skilled, knowledgeable, and visionary perioperative nursing leader with over 43 years of administrative and clinical management and internal and external consulting experience in both inpatient, outpatient, and multi-campus healthcare facilities. She is the founder and president of MedAssist Consultants Incorporated, a highly respected and experienced consulting company for over 33 years. She has successfully provided medical and surgical consulting services to over 300 clients nationally and internationally. Barbara Ann's record demonstrates increasingly challenging healthcare leadership positions. She is sought after as a speaker for local, regional, and national symposiums and conventions. Today, we're going to dive into the maze that is instructions for use. If you've listened to Beyond Clean in our podcasts over the years, a common theme consistently comes out where we discuss which IFU you're going to reference to make a determination on how to sterilize an instrument or a device. And so Barbara Ann has always talked about this three-legged stool. She's going to go in depth today because there are three IFUs that you would take into consideration. And it also has everything to do with the validation and then the user verification processes to help you make the right decision and focus on patient safety in your practices at your facilities today. So really excited to dive into this one with Barbara Ann.
You're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is Barbara Ann Harmer, Vice President of Clinical Services at Innovative Sterilization Technologies, LLC. And Barbara, you have joined us for several interviews in the past and including a recent Q&A session when we released the second episode of Beyond the Tour. And that was during a live event where we took questions from the audience who had just viewed the episode. So I think at this point, everyone listening to this episode pretty much knows who you are, but I want to thank you for coming on for this very important discussion today.
Thanks, Justin. It's always an honor to be with you, and especially today to talk about this important topic.
Yes, I mean, instructions for use is always fairly well debated out there. And I think this episode is really going to help people understand which instructions for use to use under which circumstances. And so before we even get started, let's just tell the listeners, what is the instructions for use?
Well, looking at the definition as provided currently in the AMI ST79 2017 edition, which is the latest and the most current in the marketplace, and instructions for use tells you the written recommendations that have been provided by the manufacturer that give you the instructions for operation and the safe and effective use of its device.
All right. So there are three different instructions for use that everybody has to take into consideration: the sterilizer, the medical device, and then the packaging IFU. And I've heard you talk about the three-legged stool, but I'm not sure I totally understand that. Can you explain it to the audience?
Well, as an educational tool, I try to use items that can be seen. I'm a visual person myself. So the three-legged stool is just that. One leg is the sterilizer, one leg is the medical device, and the other leg is the packaging system. So let's start first with the sterilizer. This IFU is one that very few people have read in its entirety. The sterilizer IFU, amongst other things, will tell you how many trays you can run in one load, when using rigid containers, the weight of the containers. Most will be 25 pounds, but there is a sterilizer out there, ironically, that has a maximum weight of 17 pounds per tray. And I've spoken to some individuals that actually purchased this sterilizer and was not aware that this was how the sterilizer had gone through the FDA process. It will go on, though, this IFU of the sterilizer, to tell you how the packaging systems should be placed in the sterilizer, the available cycles that could be run, the presets and custom settings, etc. Now, switching to the second leg of the stool would be the medical device. One would look to this IFU to give you the information on the type of cycles, the exposure time and exposure temperature for each of these cycles. And the third one, which is the jackpot one, especially where one tray is concerned, is the packaging system. And the packaging system, whatever type it is, whether it be wrap, rigid containers, paper, plastic pouches, is where the storage and the dry time comes from. Unfortunately, this is an incredibly exhausting task for any member of the CS staff, because all this information needs to be at their fingertips as they prepare any item for steam sterilization.
Yeah, I really like that explanation, because all of those instructions for use prop up the stool, essentially, for how you're going to make critical decisions or how you're going to critically think through when one IFU doesn't necessarily say the same thing as the other one. And so we're going to walk through that now, and we're going to use the one tray IFU as an example to talk about the role of the packaging instructions for use in those considerations. And if you are listening on the Beyond Clean smartphone application, you're going to be able to find the one tray IFU in our bonus content section. So if you have the app open and you're listening to this episode, you're going to see an icon on the menu bar there that has a little gift box. And that gift box icon is the bonus content. So feel free to take a look and follow us as we go through this. Barbara, let's start with sterilization parameters. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So the literature that we follow that address sterilization parameters as the time and temperature requirements for the cycle chosen. This should, of course, be found in the IFU. You should be following these listed requirements in the medical devices IFU, but you could have 30 instruments, for example, in a tray. You'll need to follow and work through this maze to select the appropriate cycle, exposure, time, and temperature. It's always not advisable to over-sterilize instruments or implants. The last item that is found in an IFU is the dry time, but you didn't hear me mention it as a sterilization parameter because it isn't. It is part of sterility maintenance. So again, when you look at the IFU, you've got sterilization parameters as well as sterility maintenance.
So Barbara, that's right where I was going next, was sterility maintenance and specifically how it relates to shelf life. Can you take a deeper dive into that?
Absolutely. So here we go. Sterility maintenance occurs after the sterilization cycle has been completed. Packaging system, as I've mentioned, is where the dry time originates from. One tray's 510K clearance in 2006 stated a 48-hour shelf life. One tray was cleared with storage.
Okay, so here's where the confusion really comes in for a lot of people, is that every instructions for use from one product to another is unique. It's different. And that really ties in well with looking at the one tray as an example that we can walk the audience through right now. What is unique about the one tray and the information, how it's represented in your instructions for use?
I don't know that unique is the right word, because it's absolutely crazy compared to the way that we've worked in this industry up until 2006, when this particular tray was cleared. One tray's IFU specifically addresses that retained moisture in a tray is normal and expected. This is very important information that can certainly be found in the IFU. Important also of note, though, is that the amount of retained moisture is going to be dependent on the load composition. The moisture does not compromise the sterility of the contents. These are statements that are in our IFU that has been reviewed by the FDA. Per AAMI recommended practices and guidelines, IST, the owner and the maker of OneTray, recommends the facility to develop a policy and procedure regarding the sterility and use of the contents of the container systems that appear to have retained moisture. That can be found in AAMI ST79. But I know that this is one concept that is so hard for many to wrap their arms around. This isn't an opinion. This is a scientific fact that the moisture in the tray is sterile. I'd like to again use the example that it's as sterile as the water that's contained in a capped bottle of sterile water in the OR. The water in the tray is manufactured in the tray. It is normal and expected. When reading our instructions for use, you will find that contained within it. With a one tray, the science is in the filters and the 100% sealness of the container.
Okay, that really, I think, sets the table for how we're going to start going through which IFU to look at here in a second. But another thought before we move on is really around warranties. Are warranties, I know manufacturers have warranties on their products, but is that included in the instructions for use?
Absolutely, again. So we know that with any packaging system, there's a requirement to inspect each container before the next use. OneTray wants you to use a tray that meets the specifications of the way it was intended to work. So the company provides a lifetime warranty. This is a value-added aspect with the purchase of our tray.
Okay, so now we're going to start talking about this three-legged stool and which instructions for use to use when you're making a decision or you're starting to figure out how you're going to sterilize a product or you're going to bring in a new product, like a new packaging system that you're going to use. And it all starts with this conversation around the difference between validation and verification. And I can't tell you how many times in my experience in this industry that this conversation comes up and there's confusion. And so I think it's really important that we explain the difference between validation and user verification.
So let's take validation first. Validation is performed by a manufacturer. A user does not perform validation. What is validation? It's a documented procedure performed by the device manufacturer for obtaining, recording, and interpreting the results required to establish that a process will consistently yield product complying with predetermined specifications. However, user verification is different. User verification is performed by users in their own environment. And that's where documented procedures for obtaining, recording, and interpreting the results required to establish those predetermined specifications have been met. So validation is done by manufacturers, especially as part of the 510K process when bringing a material to market. But user verification is what we do in our hospitals, our surgical centers, our clinics, where we can then mimic the parameters that we're supposed to be able to achieve per the IFU of the manufacturer.
Excellent. So now we're going to go through some scenarios that can really help us all understand how that validation process is done with specific packaging systems and what confusion that sometimes causes for the end user, and specifically around user verification and utilization of the products, right? So can you explain maybe a situation that would help us sort of set the context for this conversation?
So let's get into a key point that most users are not aware of unless you've done FDA work. The FDA only requires the testing be presented to them of the medical device in one packaging system. So let's go back to the IFU that states 4 minutes, 270 degrees with 30 minutes of dry time. Can you tell me what packaging system was used when that medical device was put through testing? Probably not. So let's say it was performed in rigid container A, and now you are going to be using rigid container B. Are you following the correct amount of dry time? If it's not stated what it was tested in the IFU of the medical device, then you have a probability that the dry time might in fact not be correct. Now, let's say the rigid container A needed 30 minutes of dry time to achieve 10 to the negative 6 microbial lethality. But if you're using rigid container B and you did user verification, it's possible to discover that you only needed 20 minutes to achieve microbial lethality or 10 to the negative 6. It was not validated in container B, so you would be following an IFU that was not factual. You waited 10 more minutes than you had to. That's why it's very important to look at the packaging system, because that's where dry time is coming from. It's the leg of the three-legged stool that gives you not only the dry time, but storage.
That's really an important point. And so what you're telling me is that at the end of the day, just because an instrument or a device was validated in container A doesn't mean that you are then required to sterilize that instrument or device in container A. You still have options with packaging systems, correct?
And that's what AMI ST79 gives you in user verification and looking at product families, correct?
That's excellent. Okay, so now we're going to go back and forth here because I really want to emphasize the three-legged stool and a number of different angles with which we can come at this, especially now that we've set this baseline understanding of just because it was validated, and I'll even say not necessarily container, but packaging system A, doesn't mean that that instrument or device then has to be sterilized in that packaging system that it had its validation completed in. So let's go with example number one. Let's say that the instrument or device was validated in sterile wrap, but now you're going to sterilize it in a one tray system.
So in that case, there is no dry time required, and you can certainly prove that by looking at all of your sterilization parameters and proving by doing user verification that you can still achieve the parameters that were set forth in the IFU with no dry time. So validated in sterile wrap, using a one tray, no dry time.
Okay, now the second example. Let's say that again, that same instrument or device was validated in the sterile wrap, but then you're going to sterilize it in sterile wrap. Might still not be the same manufacturer of sterile wrap, but how does that work?
So it's an excellent point, Justin, because all sterile wrap is not created equal. There are different manufacturers of sterile wrap, but you would need dry time according to the testing that was done by the particular sterile wrap that you're using. So yes, you would need dry time working with sterile wrap.
Okay, so we're going to say now a different instrument or device, and in this case, it was validated in the one tray, but you're going to sterilize it in sterile wrap. I'm going to throw a curveball at you. How does this one play out?
Okay, so now we've been validated in one tray, and we're going to put it into sterile wrap. Sterile wrap is the packaging system, and in the IFU of the sterile wrap, it will tell you that you do need dry time. So even though it was validated in one tray where there is no dry time, you've now changed the packaging system, and sterile wrap requires dry time according to their IFU.
All right, really, really good point here. So over and over, the theme is what we said at the start of this sort of section, which is that you're going to utilize the IFU for the packaging system or packaging method to determine whether or not there's going to be dry time or how long that dry time is going to be. And while the packaging system may be variable for the validation process, that's why you have to use the packaging system IFU. But seriously, I think for a lot of the frontline technicians and managers and directors, these end users, it still feels like a maze. Can you give them maybe some industry guidelines? I know you referenced AMI, but how do they get that confidence to navigate the maze specifically around the packaging system like we're discussing today?
So another definition that's very important and is annotated in not only AIMI, ST79, but also in AORN, and has been picked up even by state inspectors as well as Medicare. A requirement that many people miss is that you need to define the word immediacy. And the way that it's discussed in our guidelines and handbooks is that immediacy implies that a sterilized item that's used during the procedure for which it was sterilized and in a manner that minimizes its exposure to air and other environmental contaminants. A sterilized item, very key point here, a sterilized item intended for immediate use is not stored for future use nor held from one case to another. We know that, of course, as the new term that was developed in 2011 by the multi-society paper is IUSS. So immediacy, rather than being defined according to a specific time frame, is established through the critical analysis and expert collaboration of the healthcare team. So again, this originated in the 2011 multi-society paper and has been repeatedly adopted by AORN and AIMI since 2011. Your specific organization has the ability to define immediacy, just like whether you define in your organization that you use event-related or expiratory dating practices. It is your choice. So once you get your team together to decide how you're going to define immediacy, you put that in writing, you adopt it as your policy, and you follow through with your process. And then you can relate that to anyone that comes through your door, an inspector, a surveyor, so that you can say undoubtedly that this is what our organization has chosen. So let me throw out there an example very quickly of how immediacy could be defined by your organization. Your adoption of this term immediacy could be that immediacy is recognized when a sterilization process involves the use of a packaging system that cannot be stored for future use. If the sterile barrier system, rigid container, peel pack, and or wrap does not have the capability of being stored for future use, the record will be documented as an IUSS cycle. So again, to be brief with this, if your organization says, unless we use an FDA cleared packaging system for immediate use steam sterilization, key factor, no storage, that is our definition of what we call immediacy. It's very important that your organization do this, because if you tell someone, including your own workers in your organization, that you follow AIMI ST79 or you follow AORN guidelines, that you understand that this is a key requisite, even listed in the terminology of what IUSS is.
Okay, so you can't have a conversation about instructions for use without talking about the fact that, yeah, you've got this three-legged stool, and then you've got who knows how many thousands of instruments and devices in a standard hospital or surgery center setting, and trying to figure out where they are, educate your entire team on those IFUs, and then set up processes that are going to be consistent with the conversation that we just had is not an easy task. And sometimes you'll even find a scenario where the instructions for use is not even maintained or available. And there can be a variety of reasons for that. But let's just talk about what happens if the IFU is not maintained in the department and you don't have access to it. What are the risks or concerns for that facility?
Well, I think there are three major ones. There can be lots of other incidental ones, but there are three major ones. IFUs are needed, first of all, to prevent patient harm. The goal should always be to provide safe patient care. A second one that I would list that would be very important is a liability concern. You could actually be using something incorrectly and in fact be off-label. And the third would be, as a result of not having a current IFU, you could be perpetuating ineffective training and have variable outcomes, which could certainly question the competency of your staff. So again, an IFU at a moment's notice, it needs to be able to be read and used by the staff in a processing department, because without it, any of these three issues could occur.
Excellent. You know, that patient safety piece is so critical to everything that we do. And really, anybody who works in this environment wants to know that they're doing the things that need to be done to make sure that the patient is safe. It's just an integrity thing that I think everybody has to have in this industry if they're involved in surgical services. So when we talk about the IFU, let's make sure that related to the one tray product that everybody knows where they can find it. Can you tell people how they can access your IFU?
So you can certainly access it through OneSource. The availability to all CS staff, many organizations are using OneSource, and we are certainly listed in the OneSource directory. Easier than that, and you don't have to pay for it, you can certainly go onto the OneTray website. You can go to OneTray.com, and under the customer tab, you will always find the current IFU. And if that doesn't come to you, you can certainly email info@OneTray.com, and we can send you a PDF electronically. So you can avail yourself of the IFU for OneTray in any one of those three opportunities.
Well, here at Beyond Clean, you know we're big on social media, so I'd be remiss if I didn't tell everybody to follow IST and OneTray on Facebook, connect with them on LinkedIn, where you can find more educational information, not only on this topic, but on all of the IST products. And then Barbara, where can folks go if they have any questions or they want to follow up with you or someone at OneTray about the conversation that we had today?
OneTray is also very much akin to social media, and we have developed a OneTray questions group on Facebook. You can ask any question that you have about OneTray, and you'll get a factual answer from an industry expert. You can also contact me directly at my email address at bharmer@onetray.com.
Excellent. And I think, Barbara, it's really important, as we talked earlier, about how to critically think through the different IFUs that are part of this three-legged stool. And being able to talk through that with an expert and bounce it back and forth out loud, I think is really important and helpful for a lot of people, especially because they have to take these multiple considerations into account. So I just want to thank you for making yourself available for those discussions. And I also want to thank you for coming on the show today and taking a deep dive into this world of instructions for use, that maze, and the considerations from three different IFUs that bring the department to a point of doing the right thing for patient safety. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Justin. It's been a pleasure.
That was Barbara Ann Harmer, Vice President of Clinical Services at Innovative Sterilization Technologies, LLC. And I'm glad we had Barbara on to talk about this concept of the three-legged stool, where you're referring to IFUs from the sterilizer, the medical device itself, and the packaging method. And I think one of the key takeaways for me was that these devices are validated with one packaging system, but that doesn't require the facility to use that same packaging method to sterilize the device once they begin to use it. And that is really why you would then defer to the packaging method or the packaging systems IFUs around the sterilization parameters that way. I'm not sure that's always really easy for people to understand. And I'll even say that you can visit their website at onetray.com and you can find their IFU under that customers tab. You can email them with questions, info@onetray.com. They'll also send you the PDF version of the instructions for use. And it is so important to maintain those in your department and go back and refer to them. Make sure that you're following IST OneTray on Facebook. Connect with them on LinkedIn. They're doing a lot educationally on their social media accounts, which is excellent. We love to see that here at Beyond Clean. And you can join the OneTray questions group on Facebook, where you can ask questions, get answers from an industry expert, and see the kind of dialogue that is going on out there in the industry. So an excellent conversation with Barbara Ann today, and that's going to do it for this Vendor Spotlight. As a reminder, you can help support Beyond Clean by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or by downloading our brand new smartphone application available for Android and Apple products. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review because your feedback is important to our show. If you have any questions that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. Thank you for listening to this Vendor Spotlight on Beyond Clean.